We go to the next section. In Genesis 2 verse 7, you find that the Lord God now is doing what he was told to do. And that is, he was told to be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. And how's he doing that? By bringing forth a manifestation of himself, which is Christ Jesus. And in him is all of mankind. So if you birth Christ, you are birthing all of mankind. That's your seed as the stars of heaven. This is beyond what most Christians have thought concerning these things. So now, he begins by forming a body. Why does he form a body? Because he knew that God would require, or that he would require, a body on this earth. Why? Because if God is going to dwell in us, and that God dwelling in us is Christ, and Christ said in John 10 verse 30, I and my Father are one, not two separate entities. We are one. So therefore, Christ is God. Christ dwells in us. If he dwells in us, then Christ needs a body for expression. Listen, Christ dwelling in you means nothing unless you allow him the use of your body. Because Christ is spirit. Spirit has no hands. If he wants to lay hands on somebody or touch somebody, then he can't do that unless he's got hands. So these become the hands of Christ. And then, Christ as spirit does not have a voice like I have. So, if he wants to say something to somebody, he can't do that unless he's got a voice. I know God can speak to God's to his people when we have learned how to hear the voice of God from within us, but the majority of people on this earth have never heard the voice of God. So there's only one voice that they will be able to hear. That's a man's voice, but in a body in which the Christ is living, and that body becomes a possession of his. Listen. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, the Apostle Paul says, don't you know your body is the temple of God, which is in you, which you have of God, and it does not belong to you. Your body does not belong to you. Your body was given to you so that you could make it available for the Christ that dwells in you. And if you don't do that, the Christ in you is blind, deaf, and dumb. Come on, you're hearing this.
Yes.
And this is why there's so little happening on this earth. Because in the average person, they do not understand this. And they think their body belongs to them. You can do what you like with your body. You can eat as much as you like. It doesn't matter. I mean, you get sick. Okay, well, we're going to go to a doctor. We'll get some help and so on. I want to tell you, your body does not belong to you. And that means that you have to allow him to take control of your body, the Christ. Otherwise, he has no expression. I mean, if we are sick, how is the Christ going to use us? If we're not able to walk or something, then how's the Christ going to be able to use us? You see, we become a limitation. And it means today that many times the Christ has no expression in a person. And he's only expressed through a few people who understand and know this. But I am telling you that God is giving you a wake-up call. Your body does not belong to you. You don't have the right just to do with it what you want to do. You don't even have the right to just eat what you want to eat. I believe that the Christ in you has the right to control all of your body and how you deal with it. He has the right because it's his. Your body does not belong to you. It is the temple of God. It is the only means by which the Christ of your true identity can express himself to the world. The only way. These hands become the hands of Christ as I travel the world. If he wants to lay hands on somebody, these are the hands that he would use in my ministry. If he wants to say something, then this voice is going to say what the Christ wants to say. And then he gets the job done. Because if it's to see a miracle, if it's to change something that could not be changed otherwise, then he does the miracle. But it's through the body that God does what he wants to do. You see? And that means that you and I become a part of the manifestation of Christ on this earth. We become a manifestation of it. You can run around and tell everybody, Christ is in me, Christ is in me, Christ is in me. You can even say, I am Christ, I am Christ. Many people, they run around and do this. They get a t-shirt, it's got I am Christ on it, you know. And they think this is what, you just go around and tell everybody you're Christ. No, no, no. I've never told anybody I am Christ. But I have expressed that Christ many times, and people have seen the Christ. So this is very important for us. So this man now, he forms the body. The body is now complete, made from the dust of the earth. But hey, wait a minute. I know what you're thinking. Dust is not worth anything. I mean, you can have a bucket full of that, you just tip it out in the yard there. It's got no value, dust. Wait a minute. Where did the dust come from? Where did the rocks come from? Where did the mountains come from? Where did the rivers come from? Where did the oceans come from? Where did the trees come from? Come on! It all came out of God. All of it. There was nothing here when God created the heavens and the earth. It all came out of him. You hear this? Get hold of these things, because, brother, I'm telling you, there's not a lot of people that are saying this, and I'm not putting myself up because of this, but I'm saying, listen, we need to hear this and heed it and begin to tell others, because the will and purpose of God on this earth is dependent upon us knowing who we are and what we're intended to do. The Christ in you is the hope of God being glorified on this earth. So now, this body is complete. It's made from the dust of the earth, but that dust was spirit because it came out of God. And when the body is totally complete, now there's no life in the body. No life in that body. There's no life in your body, per se. In other words, your body itself has no life in it. No life at all. The only life that you have in your body is the Christ that's in you. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Christ in you is the life of your body. And on the cross, many people send me email, tell me what happens when somebody dies. I said, you know, do I have to keep doing this? I mean, why don't people understand this? I said, all right, I'll tell you. When somebody dies, and I've been in the deathbed of a number of people, and when that last breath is breathed out, if you're holding that hand, if you just let it go, it'll just plop to the bed. That person's dead. Why? Because the spirit left the body and returned back to God. Amen. And they said, yeah, well, now what else? What else? What happens to your soul? I said, why? What is your soul? Is your soul another little bit or a piece of you somewhere in there that's got to be looked after? No, sir. Your soul is part of the spirit. It's part of the spirit, which cannot actually be taken from the spirit. We haven't come to that yet, but we're going to. So he forms this body. It's got no life in it, but now he's going to put life into the body. What does he do? Give it a blood transfusion? I don't think so. What's he going to do? He breathes into the nostrils of that body the breath of life. To be honest, it's the breath of lives. It's plural. Why? Because life can be lived on many, many different levels. There are some creatures, microscopic creatures, that might only live for a matter of minutes or maybe an hour. There are some other creatures that might live for 3 months. There are some that might live for 12 months. There are some that might live for a number of years, and there's man that can live for 70 and even go beyond that. You see, so life can be lived on different levels of that life. But for most of us, we are living out of our mortality. It's just mortal life, which means that we are born and you're going to die. But that is not the life God has given you. God has given you another life. It's His life. And that life is eternal. So what does He say? He that hears my word and believes on Him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. I say to Christians, have you got eternal life? Yes, sir. Yes, I gave my heart to Jesus. You got eternal life. Are you going to die? Oh, yes, I've got to die. What for? Well, to get rid of the body, you see. Because God's going to give me a new body in heaven. A body that's not going to deteriorate and so on. Oh, I said, that's very, very interesting. So you tell me you've got eternal life, but you're going to die. I said, that's a bit of a contradiction as far as I'm concerned. If you've got eternal life, that eternal life has no beginning and it has no end. But you tell me you've got to die. Come on. I've made no plans to die at all. Why? Because God has given me His life. And that life is eternal. So when the man came to sell me an insurance for my burial just before I left home, he said, you know, your wife, if you happen to die, he said, your wife is going to have to pay for your funeral expenses. In Australia, I mean, that's a pretty heavy sum of money, at least about $15,000 by the time you pay everybody that's been involved, and probably here it might even be more than that. Oh, and that's just with an ordinary, you know, just an ordinary casket made from very ordinary timber, not one of those real high polished ones, and you know, with all the gold trimmings on it and everything. That'll cost you $15,000 just to buy the box, you see. But I want to tell you, when Christ becomes the reality of our life, He gives us His life, which is eternal, and we're going to live forever. I read in the Old Testament how Methuselah lived for 969 years. Adam lived for 930 years. Oh my goodness. Fancy being alive for 900. Fancy being alive forever. Forever. Well, we haven't broken through yet. We haven't. But others have. Elijah never died. I mean, there was Enoch. The Bible says he just went walking with God one day and, hey, he never come back. They called him a was-not. I said, that'll do me. I'll be a was-not too. But you see, eternal life. But listen, eternal life is not just that there's no beginning and there's no end. Eternal life means that cancer cannot touch me. It means that diabetes cannot touch my body. It means no disease in this world can touch my body, because if the life of God is in here, nothing can touch it. And you have to understand this, because this is part of the lesson we're going to learn today. So because we don't know that, we become subject to all the sicknesses in the world, all of the crazy stuff that happens to our bodies, and we get old. Well, I determined I wasn't going to get old, and I'm not. I'm not old. So when they drive in the airports, you know, they have those little buggies they drive around, you know, for the old people. I've only been on one of those once. That was because I had two heavy bags. It wasn't for me. I wanted to put my two heavy bags, but I had to get on with it. So I, you know, see, that's for old people, you know, that are they're struggling along a little bit. They're not getting along too good. I'm not old. Old is in your head. Old is what you tell yourself. Let me tell you, you are spirit. Do you know what that means? As a man thinks in his heart, that is what he is. Did you hear that? Because that's what it means if you are spirit. What you think in your heart is what you are. You say I'm old, you're old. You say I've got cancer, you've got cancer. But see, this is because we've not understood that we are actually spirit living in a body. All right, we have to keep going. So this man, he stands up now. He's got the breath of God in him. He is a replica of that other man, or a reproduction is a better word, of that first man who was Christ Jesus. Adam, this is now Adam in the garden. He's the man with the body, the first earth man. The other man was spirit, and he was the Messiah of the Old Testament. But he came into this world 2,000 years ago, or an expression of him, was born of a woman in Bethlehem's manger. That was Jesus Christ. So he became a man just like us to show us that what we are is what he is, and what he is what we are. So now Adam is in the garden. Every day he's walking with God. Every day. Why? He is Christ. He is walking with God. Not he's walking here and God's walking here. No, no, no. You see, because he is spirit. Even though he's got a body, he is spirit, just like Jesus Christ on the earth. He was walking in God. He was one with God, walking with God every day, fellowshipping with God. I don't know how long he was in the garden. It may have been a million years. We do not know. But as we read in Genesis here, we think it's like yesterday he was in the garden, the next day he's out there somewhere, you know, and he's lost his position in God. I don't know. He could have been there for 1,000 years. But the point is this. Adam's relationship with God and his living in the Garden of Eden was based upon love. It was based upon love. That is his love for God. And while that love for God remained intact, he could walk and talk and be with God, fellowship with God. There was not a thing that he needed. He couldn't get sick. He couldn't die. He was eternal. But one day, the Lord God said, it's not good for the man to be alone. I'm going to give him a helpmeet. So I did a little study on the word helpmeet because I wanted to know what this was really all about. And I found that it came from a root word in the Hebrew, which means to test or to be a test. And that's what the woman became. Yeah, and you're laughing. I can see it. It's okay. You hang on. You women hang on. You're going to get it back in a minute. A test. Well, now, what sort of a test was this? Well, I'm going to tell you. You see, if one of you women here tonight, today, if you were the only woman on this earth, the only woman, there was not another woman, and some man walked up to you and said, I think you're wonderful. You look absolutely beautiful. I would like to marry you. Please, will you marry me? Would you know whether that man truly loved you? No. Why not? Because there's no alternative. You see, my wife knows that I love her because I picked her out of the mob. I picked her out of the whole world. And I tell you, I've never been sorry about my decision, because it was God's decision. Because I'd already picked out the one I wanted to marry. I'd already picked her out. And then the whole relationship just fell apart, and that was that. and I cried myself to sleep for nights after that. I said, God, you know, like a spoiled boy, I said, God, you know, that should have been my wife. She was just right for me. God said, no, I've got the woman that's right for you. And I'm glad. I am so glad. Thank you, Father. You gave me the right wife. We've been married 59 years now. 59 years. And I want to tell you, this message, and you haven't heard the rest of it yet, but this message transformed my wife and myself and our marriage. Now, we had a good marriage. I mean, we didn't have a bad marriage. We had a good marriage. We never had arguments and fights and all that like a lot of people do. We've had a really good marriage. But I'm telling you now, we have a better marriage. Because God has done something. Okay, we're not going to skip over and touch that. So, the woman now. She said, the Lord God said, I'm going to give you a helpmeet. So what happens? This is Genesis chapter 2, verse 21, 22. And I have to keep moving here. Genesis 2, verse 21, 22. And it says, and the Lord God put Adam into a deep sleep. According to the Hebrew, it was a trance. I mean, he was out to it. He was unconscious. He didn't know what was happening. He wasn't consulted about what they were going to do for him or what anybody was going to do for him. He was just put into a deep sleep. And he slept and slept and slept and slept. And he's still sleeping, Adam is. Hello. He's still sleeping. You're Adam. And we're still sleeping. I'm going to prove it to you shortly. We're still sleeping. Why? Well, because you see, this was a test. So, while he's asleep, it says the Lord God took a rib out of Adam. Well, you can argue about the rib and go into a lot of details as to what you think it might be, but I want to tell you, it was the female part of Adam that was taken out. All right? Where was the female part of Adam? It was inside him because Adam was spirit. Adam was spirit. And spirit is male and female functioning together as one. Are you hearing this? Now, the female part then was taken out of Adam and formed into a woman, which God never created. But the Lord God brought this woman now to Adam. And Adam is looking at her, but he's still asleep. You hearing this? He's still asleep. How do I know? Because, I'll tell you in a minute, he looks at this woman and says, you are bone of my bones. You are flesh of my flesh. What did he do? He aligned himself with the woman. He did not align the woman with him. He was spirit. That's how he was created. But now he aligns himself with the woman and says, you're bone of my bones, you're flesh of my flesh. That's what I am, that's what you are. We are one. Because you were taken out of me, I'm going to call you woman. Now, I'm going to give you two reasons why that could not be literal. The first reason, spirit is male and female, but it cannot be divided. Spirit cannot be divided. God is spirit. Can you divide God? No. Israel kept saying, our God is one Lord, not two, not three. He's one. You cannot divide spirit. It's impossible. Secondly, spirit has no gender. Did you hear that? Spirit has no gender. You do not read anywhere in this book about a male spirit or a female spirit. All you read about is spirit, which is male and female functioning together as one. Male and female have nothing to do with this world in which we live. It only has to do with spirit. But we've got men and women here today. So I am telling you, for 10 years I have been preaching this around the world, and in every nation where I've gone, I have told people this cannot be literal. The woman cannot be taken out of the man. It's impossible. 10 years I've been preaching that. Keep that in mind, because I'm going to tell you something very shortly. So now, if that is impossible for the woman to be taken out of the man, then why do we do what we do? Well, first of all, Genesis 2 verse 24. In Genesis 2 24, what is God saying? He says, for this cause. What cause? What is the reason for this? Because the woman was taken out of the man. For this cause, a man would leave his father and his mother and would cleave to his wife, and the two would become one flesh. Why do we get married? Because you believe the woman was taken out of the man. Come on, you hear this? There's no other reason. You believe the woman was taken out of you. You're missing something. That we're incomplete. For this cause, a man will leave his father and mother and will cleave unto his wife, and the two will become one flesh. You're still two people. The best you can get out of your marriage is to become two people that can live together in a house. Hey, come on. You hearing this? That's the best you can get out of your marriage. Well, now, this is an issue. Well, you say, well, what about me? I've been preaching for 10 years that it's not possible to take the female out of the male in terms of the spirit. It's not possible. I preached it in every country where I've traveled. Let me tell you something. About 2 months ago, I'm at home. And I'm sitting in a chair there, and I look out there, and there's my wife. She's sitting in another chair there. And I looked at her this day like I never looked at her before. Because this is rattling around in my head. For this cause, a man would leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife. But Lord, you never took the female out of me. You never took the woman out of me. I've told everybody in the world, you never. But my wife's out there. And it hit me. God, you mean to tell me that I believe that the woman was taken out of me? God said, yes, of course you did. But so does everybody else in the entire world. We all believe that the woman was taken out of us. Every one of us. And I'm telling you that it's an impossibility. That you cannot take the female out of the male. You cannot divide spirit. Spirit has no gender, so there's no male spirit there and a female spirit. There's only spirit which is male and female functioning together as one. You cannot separate them. Spirit doesn't function unless it's male and female. Spirit cannot function if it's just male. So why? How do you see this? Well, I'll tell you how I see it. You see, women today, they're very, usually very loving, they're kind, they're soft. They are very, very much involved in nurture, in the feeding of the young and taking care of the babies and so on, which is a wonderful part. You know, it's a wonderful aspect of life to have all of that. But see, the women in this world have been put down for all time. since the Garden of Eden, the woman has been put down. In society, yes. Today, there's a real push for the women to be kind of elevated a little more, and we're getting some women that are going up into the CEO kind of class now. We have a woman prime minister in Australia for the first time in history. We have a woman there. You see, there's a push to try and lift the women to another level, but they're not going to do it, because that's not the way to do it. The woman's going to be lifted, I'm telling you. She's going to be lifted, but not that way. She's not going to force her way in to take over from mankind, from men. That's what their idea is. We're going to take over from the men. No, you're not. And neither are we going to take over from the women. So, what's the problem here now? I minister in Africa. In Africa, in Kenya, the Maasai people are very big, strong, tall men. And these men, you will see them walking along the road, you know, stately figures walking along the road. About 10 paces behind them is their wife. And their wife's got about half a ton of firewood on her head, and she's probably carrying 2 kids. That's women in the world today. Even the church has put the women down. You know why? Because they said, you know, you women, you've got to obey your husband. Because he's the head of the house. You've got to obey him. You've got to do everything he tells you to do. Oh, God, help us. Are you hearing this? Hey, you see, I'm on your side, you women. I'm on your side. And you need to hear this, but you men need to hear this also, because we're going to get this thing sorted out. And it's going to change. It's got to change for us. Because we are beginning to understand something now that's going to put this thing in its right order. So now, we've got men and we've got women on the earth. As God looks at a man, what does he see? God sees Christ in every man. Everybody here, Christ is in you, Christ is in you, Christ is in you, Christ is in you. That's what he sees. When he looks at a woman, what does God see? He sees Christ. He sees Christ. Come on. He sees Christ in you. No different to the man. If you were living in England just over 100 years ago, you would be called the womb man. That's the old English word for woman. The womb, the man with the womb. That's what the English used for the woman. Which is very accurate, because that's what you are. You're the man with the womb. You see? So now, having got that straight, it means that from God's point of view, he does not see you as a woman. He sees you as Christ. And he doesn't see me as a man, he sees me as Christ. But that's what man was called. Man was called man in Genesis 1:26. But when the word man there is not really a gender. It's the creature, it's the person, it's what God created. And you women are the man with the womb. That's what you are. The only difference between you and me is physical. It's your body. That it was designed slightly differently in order so that we could procreate in the way in which we have done in the past. You see, sometimes my wife traveling with me and I might say, you know, I have 5 children. She said, you didn't have 5 children. I had 5 children. Well, so I have to bow to her. Yes, she has had 5 children. And so this is very important then for us. So we are discovering now, first of all, that God, first of all, did not create a woman. A woman was never created. But does that mean that you women are outcast from whatever God might want to do? No. No, because he sees you exactly as the same as he sees me. He sees Christ in you. and he sees Christ in me. So now, you see, I saw my wife out there, and I said, God, I have to admit, of 10 years I've preached, I did not believe that the woman could be taken out of the man. I believed that was an impossibility, and I told everybody in the world I believed it. Why? Because when I began to think, I never looked at my wife and said, who are you? Where did you come from? Because if Adam had been in his right mind and consciousness, when that woman was brought to him, what would he have said? He'd have said, who are you? Where in the world did you come from? Because I know God didn't create anything like you, so I don't know anything about you, so, you know, get lost. That's what he would have said if he'd been in his right mind. But he wasn't in his right mind. He was asleep. In other words, unconscious. And he just simply accepted that woman and said, I'm one with you. Flesh and bones. Flesh and bones. Wow. So I said to the Lord, okay, my wife's sitting out there. I said, well, Father, what am I going to do? The woman was taken out of me, which means that the Christ in me has been functioning just at 50%. Why? Well, because the female part of that spirit is out there in the chair. There's my female there. And God said to me, you have to put her back where she belongs. Oh, how do I do that, Lord? Well, you know where she belongs? I said, yes, she belongs in the spirit that is me, which is Christ. He said, put her back. So I did. I put my wife back where she belonged. She is the bride of Christ. Are you hearing this? She's the bride of Christ. And the Christ in me was functioning without his bride. And so therefore, my ministry obviously was on a lower level than what it should have been. But this year, after God has reorganized me, many people have said to me, Des, your ministry has gone up a notch this year. You're on another level. I said, yeah, because you see, I put my wife back where she belonged, and now we're right now, because I'm male and female in that spirit, which is Christ in me, and it is this Christ in me now, male and female, that is functioning in the ministry today. Well, what difference does that make? Oh, I want to tell you, that makes a very big difference. You see, my wife has been a wonderful wife. I mean, I haven't had any complaints about her. But I know that there were certain things in her life that have been a hindrance to her and kind of held her back from being a total expression of what God really had built into her. There was things there that, you see, I'm not going to go into the details, but you see, my wife was brought up in a situation where she was made to be inferior. She was controlled by her sisters and many things. And so that has affected her life. And not our marriage, but it affected her expression of life on the earth. She always felt, many times in my life, in our marriage, you know, when I first got married, she would always, I mean, we'd start off walking, she'd be beside me. Next thing, she's back here. And I'd have to reach her. Get up here. Come on, walk up here. It was an automatic thing with her. Well, I got her out of that. Not completely, because she still does the same thing a little bit, but not like she used to. So I said, now what's going to happen now? I put her back where she belonged. And I see my wife. Now I said, well, now what am I going to do with the woman out there? I'll put my wife back in here. Well, now I've still got this woman out there. What am I going to do with her? Oh, the Lord said, she is a manifestation of the bride of Christ. And that's how you treat her. As you would treat that woman there, you're going to treat that woman there. So, I want to tell you, I got myself a new wife. Because the things that I could not change in her life automatically changed. Immediately. I mean, here I am, we're going to spend 2 hours trying to get this session over to help you to understand what I'm trying to share with you. I didn't have to spend 2 hours talking to my wife trying to explain it to her. Somehow she knew. She knew. Oh God, help us. And you see, it meant that my wife became far more precious to me than ever. Because even the manifestation out there, I still see as the bride of Christ. That's who she is. And it's not something that you say, well, now I'm not going to do that, and I'm not going to do this, I'm going to go low and, you know, act like this. It's like, it's automatic. I don't have to think. I don't have to think. I have missed my wife more this trip than any other trip that I've had. And I've been traveling for many, many years. And my wife has never, never argued with me over the ministry. She's never said, you know, I wish you weren't going out there. I want you to be home. No, she's never put a limitation upon me at all. And I honor her for that. Because I know this is God. I'm not just doing this for fun. Not a lot of fun in it, except I get blessed when people get blessed. But see, this time, there's a relationship that I have with my wife. Even though I am not home, we are one.
Yes.
Now there's a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. I want you to put this one down in your notes particularly. And listen to what it says. But he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Did you hear that?
Yes.
So in marriage, what do we become? One flesh, two people. You cannot go beyond that. Marriage will only make you two people that are living together. When you become one spirit, you are one, not two people anymore. Are you hearing this? I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 13. Meats for the belly and belly for the meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication. What is fornication? Fornication is using your body for an illegal purpose. That's what fornication is. And he says your body is not for fornication. But he's talking to the church. Oh, Paul, what? You're talking to the church about fornication? Surely there's nobody in the church that's going to fornicate. But your body is not for fornication. I want to tell you, he's not talking about fornication in the natural world. He's talking about spiritual fornication.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Using your body for anything that is not the will and purpose of God.
Mm.
That's spiritual fornication.
Mm.
Are you hearing this?
Yes.
You use your body for anything that is not the will and purpose of God, it's fornication, spiritually. So, and the Lord, and God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Don't you know that your bodies are the members of Christ? Your bodies are the members of Christ. That means Christ owns this body, but not just the body. He owns my hands, he owns my feet, he owns my eyes, my ears, my mouth, my muscles, my bones, my legs, my toes, he owns everything. That's the members of my body. He owns them all. You see? So it says he owns them all. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? Oh God, what's a harlot? Well, that's a prostitute. So what does Paul say? He says what? Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Verse 16. Know ye not that he that's joined to a harlot is one body? Is one body. For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. So Paul's, he's kind of taking a pretty strong stand here, isn't he? And he says, know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. That's all you can become, one flesh. But he that's joined to the Lord, verse 17, is one spirit. That's what I am with my wife. We are one spirit. We are one spirit. Beloved, God is going to change something on this earth, because I want to tell you, the woman is going to be put back in her place. You see, the woman's place in my life now is she is one with me. I said one. She does not have to bow to me, and I do not have to bow to her, but we bow to each other. And this is not just some, you know, physical decision that we make, you know, that we're going to agree together, we're not going to fight. No, 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 this is a spiritual thing. We have become one spirit. And I said to you in the beginning, you cannot divide spirit. You cannot. It's not possible. There is no way in this world now that I could be divided from my wife. Not possible. Because we are one spirit. She's in me. And nothing can take us apart again. So she signs the emails that she sends me. This is your other half. This is your other half. And I sign it. And this is the half you're talking about. You see? This is going to change some things. Because I want to tell you, 3 out of 5 marriages in Australia end up in divorce. And that is criminal. And I want to tell you, that's not just in the world, that's in the church as well. It's in the church as well. We've played games over all of these issues. We really have. Man goes out, looks for the prettiest face he can find, and says, yeah, you'll do me for a while. I was talking to a woman just in recent times, and she'd been married twice and was not married when I was talking to her now. I said, what happened to your first husband? Well, she said, he was an alcoholic. I said, for goodness sake, you married an alcoholic? Yeah, well, you know, I thought I could change him, you know. So she ended up, she dropped him. Then she got married again. I said, what happened to him? Oh, he was on drugs. Oh my goodness, I said, please don't get married again, will you? Isn't it crazy? Something's got to change, beloved. And you've got to understand who you are. You've got to understand that you are male and female functioning together as one. We do not need anything outside of ourselves to be complete. But we've all believed that we were, something's missing. That's why we went out. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. And the two will become one flesh, but two people. You can't do any better in your marriage than be two people. That's all. And, of course, like I say, I didn't have a bad marriage when we were just two people, because we never fought or you know, had any arguments like that at all. And my wife has been a wonderful wife to me, wonderful wife to the family, and the children all love her, the grandchildren love her. I mean, you know, it's just beautiful. So today, God is teaching us something. Because I want to tell you, until you understand this, you are going to function only out of the 50% of the spirit that dwells in you. Because if the female has been removed from you, and we've all believed that, we've all believed that. And like I say, even I, who preached for 10 years that this could not be literal. Why? Because, first of all, spirit has no gender. Spirit has no, you cannot find anywhere in the Bible about a male spirit or a female spirit. So it has no gender. It's just male and female functioning together as one. That's what spirit is. And so when we begin to understand this, God is going to release us. Because you see, if we can function on 50%, and I'm only using this, you know, in a human sense, but 50% of the spirit that dwells in us, which is Christ, and if we can function on that, what's going to happen when we put the other part together and the bride of Christ is put back where she belongs? And after all, he's got to be married. He's got to be married. And so here's the, what shall we say? This is the capstone on this message now. Listen carefully. Until you understand what we've shared together here this morning, until you can see your wife as the bride of Christ and put her back where she belongs, as part of the spirit of your being, you will not be able to fulfill the will and purpose of God. Why? What does God ask you to do? He says, I want you to birth the Christ. I want you to birth the Christ. You, not you and your wife. I want you to birth the Christ. I want you to birth the Christ. You hear this? And you cannot do that unless the spirit in you is male and female. Because that first man who was Christ Jesus, the first man God created, he brought forth a manifestation of himself. How could he do that? Because he was male and female. Therefore, he could produce. He could reproduce. God is looking for reproduction. If Abraham birthed the Christ. Now, if Abraham had not birthed the Christ, the whole agreement that God had made with Abraham would have been invalid. Why? Because he said to Abraham, in you and your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So if it's Abraham and he doesn't have any seed, the covenant is finished. It's finished. Do you know why the new covenant is not functioning on this earth as it should? It's not functioning on the earth because we have never reproduced what God's asked us to do. And that is to birth the Christ. Asking you, not you and your wife, not you women and your husband, you, he's asking you to birth the Christ. And when you birth the Christ, you are birthing all of humanity. And your seed will be as the stars of heaven. I do not expect you just to get up from this session and say, I understand, you know, this, I've got a hold of this. I want you to hide this in your heart. I want you to take it with you and allow God to continue to share with you to understand this more fully. And until this Christ has been restored in you, and then there's going to be a change. Not just in your marriage. That's what really blessed me. That's what got hold of me. But I'm telling you that in the ministry, I'm seeing more happen now than I've seen before. And that's simply because the Christ has been the other part that was missing, that was out there, is now back in here. So you see, Genesis 2:21, verse 21 and 22, was simply an allegory. It was not literal. It could not be literal. But we all, I mean all of us, have believed the woman was taken out of us. We've all believed it. Because none of us went up to our wife and said, what are you doing here? You know, I know God never created you, so, you know, where'd you come from? I don't know anything about you. We never did that. We've never done that with any woman. I mean, we never looked at a woman going down the street and said, where did she come from? I mean, you know, I've never seen anybody like that. I know God didn't create women like that. But we never did that. We never did that. So we all believe that the woman was taken out of us. Hey, there we are. That's the other part there. But now, let me just go one step further because we need to do this. There's some here that have lost your partners. There's some here that maybe you're not married yet. Well, you say, now what am I going to do? You still have to put the female back where she belongs. You still have to do that. Why? Because you are male and female. Or for you women, some of you maybe have to put the man back, the male. Because listen, in your life, you women, you have been soft and gentle, and you have been, you know, you've given in to the man, perhaps in many, many things and so on. But where's the male part of your being? Because God made you male and female. See, we have so divided this that all of the male is in the man and all of the female is in the woman. And that's not right. Jesus Christ on this earth was male and female. That's why he had a perfect balance in his life. He wasn't just the macho man that could do anything he wanted to do. He was that, and he could do that. But he also went up to the leper and touched the leper. Nobody would touch the leper. But he loved the people so much, he would touch the leper. And he would see a man lying at the pool of Bethesda, 38 years, and here's the, you know, he's crippled. He's just all bent up and crippled, 38 years. And I could just hear the heart of Jesus just saying, oh my God, this should not be like this. Pick up your bed and go home. And the man picks up his bed and he goes home. You see, the man and the woman, the male and the female, functioning together in perfect balance. So us men have got to learn that when we put that woman back, there's going to be a soft touch in our life. There's going to be the feminine touch in the life of a man. And we want that. We need that. That's not going to rob us of our macho part. No, we can handle that because we've already got that all organized. We know what we can do and what we can't do. Well, there's not much we can't do, but we know what we can do. So all of this, you see, we understand that. But we have to have that female part functioning in us. But you women, you have to have this man part of you. You have to have the male part of you that begins to rise up. Not to overtake the female. Oh, never let that happen. Not to overtake, but just to produce the balance. Because in God's sight, you are no less in God's sight than me. We are one in Christ, all of us. And as far as God is concerned, we are all the sons of God. Now in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 1, you will find there that the sons of God began to look at the daughters of men and got married and they had kids. You know what the Bible says? They were all girls. They were all girls. They were women. Because they couldn't produce a son. Why, how can you produce a son? Oh, you've got to be male and female to produce a son. Otherwise, you produce simply a mortal human being. That's all. But you can birth the Christ. Every one of you can birth the Christ when this truth becomes real to you. And God wants to bless you today. God wants to touch your life. God wants to bring you into a new understanding of himself. Turn with me just as we try to bring this together to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 2. The Apostle Paul said, I am jealous for you. I'm jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband. One husband, not two. He said, I've espoused you to one husband. And who's that? That's Christ. That's Christ. So what about the man that's next to you? Well, that is Christ, because that's how God sees it. You getting this? See, there's Christ there. And you've been espoused to one husband. But see, it's not just the man, it's the male and female spirit of that man that you become one with. And that unites us in a way that nothing else will ever do. I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. And he said, but I fear lest by any means the serpent as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity, that is the honesty of your mind. In the honesty of your mind, you have been separated from the truth and you believe the lie. The woman's been taken out of me, and therefore I'm just the man, and the woman is out there. No. The woman is in here. And it's not until the woman is in here and part of the spirit, which is male and female, functioning together as one, that the Christ will be able to function and produce what is required. What is required? That every one of you, men and women, begin to reproduce and you birth the Christ. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19, the Apostle Paul said to the church in Galatia, do I have to travail again in pain until Christ be formed in you? And we can't see that Christ formed in other people until we have birthed the Christ in ourselves. That's your true identity. And I can tell you 1,000 times that Christ is your identity, but that will not make you or help you to become the reality. But when you birth the Christ, you have birthed your true identity. And then once that Christ is birthed in you, you can birth the Christ in others. And this is true evangelism. True evangelism. And so today, God is doing a new thing in us, and I believe that God is teaching us some things that I never knew. I mean, in all the study that I did in my life, and I studied the book from cover to cover, I never understood this, and nobody had ever told me. But I'm telling you today, this is the truth. I know in myself the change that God has brought into my life as a result of this. I have watched the transformation in my wife, and I tell you, there is nothing that I think could have achieved this apart from the Spirit of God. So today, may God bless you, may He encourage you and help you. And if today there are still questions in your mind, praise the Lord. But you ask Father, He can tell you the answers to all your questions. I will help you if I can, but He's got all the answers, so you can ask Him. So may God bless you. Amen.